Five, four, three, two, one. That was gross. Oh, I apologize. Wow, ruined.
The entire case for removing the
wound. The entire episode is ruined. So you are listening to Flowing with Famous, your All Fresno podcast. This is Joshua Teehee, aka Famous Whitewater, as always. With me, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike.
Oh, hello. Hey, Josh.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. And we are here in September to talk about all good things Fresno. Recapping August, looking forward into September, all the craziness that happened around town, both in terms of... there's a lot, man. Politics,
August, fun. August is usually kind of quiet around.
Yeah, there's a little, because it's normally it's real hot and people just kind of like hunker down, just get through it.
Go travel.
Oh, yeah.
Ready for schools, back to school. Everything's back to school now. Everyone's back.
Then it's like, then once September gets here, then it's like, oh, yeah, we're into Halloween season. Let's go.
And fall begin. We start waiting for that change.
Yeah. That's all.
We're almost done with the 100s. Knock on wood.
Maybe. Yeah. I think we're pretty close. Yeah. I feel like...
I'm sad pool season's almost over.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this year was relatively mild.
Yeah. I don't think we ever got to 110s.
The one day I can't remember if it was last month or this. I think it was last month, or it might have been early August, where we got, it was supposed to be up to that 108 or something.
Yeah.
Break the record.
Around there a couple of times, but we didn't make it out, so.
But
we hadn't had any crazy fires.
No crazy fires, although I think. I just read something that there was a fire down somewhere that it started that they're battling, but no crazy fires like last year. All that stuff already.
The air
burned.
Has been gross. Mark Grossi's been acknowledging that the air has been better than
normal.
Right? I love Mark, and I love that he's like one of the few people on this stuff about the air and like pounding it and like reporting how some of the stations aren't working right, and there's just. Like, he's on it, and I'm glad he's out there doing it. But, like, he always seems, when it's good news, he's so begrudgingly. I know it's been good, but look at all this bad stuff.
Right.
I was like, Mark, just be happy we had a good air summer, okay?
I think he probably has to do that. Yeah.
Right. I understand.
To keep people
his
from,
point of view. I'm like, let's not forget that we still got to keep working on our air.
Because people have short memories, you know? Right. And so it's like, oh, we have good air?
Yeah,
we don't have to worry anymore.
Yeah, we had a summer with good air. We're done.
We don't have
figure
to worry
that out.
Woo! Man, I'm glad that's over.
I've always been saying this. The combination of technology and knowledge and California regulating stuff, we can start not worrying about in the near future, but...
We
gotta still do it.
The rest of the world is gonna burn, so
yeah.
But maybe here in this little patch we'll be fine. An oasis in the middle of.
You just gotta get that big fan technology to blow everything down in the Bakersfield.
That's right. And get it down back to them. That's where it belongs. All right. So where do we want to start with all that? What do you want
to start
with?
We've got a new council member and a new sheriff,
that's
or a new,
chief police of police. Chief. Yeah,
police. Chief. I think sheriff in County Island.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you are. Yeah.
I'm in MIMS territory. I'm under the thumb of MIMS.
That's right. So there was a special election that happened for District
2.
2, which is what was that? The old
Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest Fresno. Sort of. Is that in? So if you weren't in the island,
I would be in.
You would be in District 2. Okay. It was won by
Carbasi.
Yeah. Is it Mike Carbasi?
Yeah,
Mike Carbasi. I unfortunately didn't follow that well enough to be able to tell you whether or not that was an upset or whether.
I mean,
I don't know.
He was
anything.
The one that canvassed. He obviously had the most money. Because
he had all the signs.
He had all the giant signs everywhere. Yeah. So, I mean, that's sadly that like wins every time. Like the biggest, the most biggest sign with the most clearest
right.
name
right.
always seems like
put wins. It on the biggest intersection.
Because otherwise people aren't paying attention. That's like so much of us, we're all busy and we're just like, right. you get in the booth, you're like, oh, I know that name. Click.
Right. Especially if you don't really care. Like if right. you can't see how it will affect you, you know, like, then yeah, and that could go positive and negative, I yeah. think, you know. Yeah. So if you see someone that you've only heard bad things about, you're gonna mm-hmm. be like, well, I'll just vote not that guy.
Yeah.
So that happened, and he was what are you like sworn in or whatever yeah. or whatever a couple weeks ago. So good luck to him, and hopefully you yeah. know
I well off at the bat,
very least we'll have a
off the bat, like he seems reasonable. Like, he does seem like he's probably a Republican, but yeah. Not that it should matter. He seems like he thinks, right, he uses right, his right, brain at right. least. So,
are we going to see
he'll be,
Twitter tirades?
Well, I just saw that he got into one yesterday.
Oh, no. With whom?
With some of the, I think I couldn't understand how it started, but it's basically around our new police chief.
Oh yeah.
And just
which is another Fresno, we'll get into that in a
yeah,
second.
Yeah. Fresno PD in general, of you know, that incident we had with the police officer just starting to wail on that kid for no reason.
Another
just thank God for freaking body cameras, dude.
Yeah.
I mean if you guys saw that video, it's like that without body cameras we'd have no idea something that so random and right, terrible would right. happen. But
well, yeah.
So I think yeah. so. There's like that general feeling of from people like, you know, this is what we see yeah, from yeah. the Fresno PD. Yeah. This is the kind of training that this is what the kind of stuff that happens. And I think this new police chief maybe is part of that whole regime of that old school regime.
Right. So maybe yeah.
And that Carbasi was he's apparently friends with
the new chief.
With the no, well, maybe, but oh. with you know, with Dyer.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, Nims.
Yeah,
and
okay. The, very, yeah, the establishment, very the law much enforcement.
It seems to be tied in with the established, long established Fresno law enforcement. Uh-huh. And there's, you know, a group of people that are like, this is the kind of stuff that we need to be not part of anymore, and we need to change things. And Carbasi seemed like he was defending the old school, like, police okay. stuff and yeah. like what about this, what about, you know, doing that tactic of, well, what about the, you know, these policemen that have died and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this mentality of bad training for the Fresno Police Department.
Right.
So it was involving that. So, but it was the only difference is like his responses were fairly reasonable. Right.
They,
whereas
they seemed thought
if
out.
If it was Brando like, or Butterfield, it would have been completely right. Ridiculous he responses.
He didn't call any of his constituents idiots or anything
no.
like that.
Okay. No, so at least we seem to have gotten a step up of intelligence anyway, or reasonableness.
Wow. Reasonableness, okay, yeah. No, I understand what you're saying, for sure. Okay, so let's start breaking down. We had two things that we just mentioned. One is the new police chief, which came with, which was a weird scenario that played out that I think a lot of people just don't maybe understand, or a lot of people who are watching the whole thing unfold,
yeah,
especially from the news media side, were just like, what is going on? And then the second is the video that came out that was the kid sort of getting beaten, punched repeatedly by a police officer. So,
just out of nowhere. Yeah. Just like, what? That? I mean, obviously that officer snapped, but
well,
I mean,
let's talk about that one.
I don't know. It's not for us to get into.
That sort of, I think, made some, I don't know. I think that made national news.
I thought that was going to blow up way bigger than
yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
And well, as soon as that started coming out, I was like, oh, crap, here we go.
I think it would have, had the kid, had there been more damage, like had the right. kid been hurt worse.
Right.
You know, I think part of the problem is that, you know, so if you watch the video, essentially, you know, there's a kid, he's being patted down. He is then being, you know, you can see that he's
group
being,
of them,
like, so there's a, so essentially what happened is the Fresno police, the magic team showed up at a house where they thought there were gang members and guns. So they had gotten a call or whatever, however they get this information, that there was a happening, a gathering, and there were gang members and there were guns there. And so they were going to show up, and it was they call it a parole search, right? So if you're on parole, police can just come, and if police have reasonable suspicion, they can come and search your house, whatever. So they showed up, and there's all these people there. And one of the people is this kid, and he's inside the apartment. There were like 25 or 30 people inside the apartment. They're like, hey, you know, or 15 or, you know, 20 people. There were people in the apartment. They were like, hey, get out, come out of the apartment. And this kid apparently was, you know, on for several times was like not really leaving the apartment or whatever, or being hesitant to leave. This is all according to the police, by the way. So they get outside, and like once you're outside, we have video that we can kind of see, and they have, you know, all the people sort of that were at the party lined up around the walls or whatever, because this is what they do. It's like they search them, sit them on the wall so they can take pictures or run to their, you know, see if they're in a gang, whatever. So this kid is being searched, and then the officer, you know, gives him a pat down, a different officer gives him a pat down, and then is like, hey, go sit. You can see him like motioning to go sit on the wall, and the kid turns but doesn't immediately go sit down. And before he can sort of, you know, who knows what's happening here, if he's saying something or whatever, but.
Yeah, I didn't, there's any audio, is there? Or if there is,
I think there's audio, but it's really like.
You can't
really
hear what's going on.
But before he can kind of turn around to do, you know, sit down or whatever happened, this police officer comes and just starts punching him in the face. And he punches him, I don't know, maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Hits him a couple times. I think the kid, you know, kind of covers up and, you know, whatever. And then finally they take the kid, they put him on the ground. They arrest him, you know, resisting arrest or whatever. He gets taken. So the video's out there. It floats around for like, so this, the incident happened in January. We didn't find out about it until now. The police, you know, so the police knew about it at the time, and they did like what they call a use of force review, and I guess, you know, came to the conclusion that like, you know, the kid's family then later sees the video, right? Because I guess the body, if you get arrested and there's body cam footage, it goes to the DA's office, so the DA can use it against you. It also goes to the public defender's office, so they can, whatever, public defender's office shows it to the family. Someone is like, hey, you should get a lawyer, so they did. They filed a complaint, excessive force complaint, then they filed a suit. I think they filed a suit in June or something. And then the video finally came out because the lawyer, I guess, gave it to the media and said, hey, look at what's happening, along with the suit. So, and then it just kind of broke. And, you know, so anyway, I think if the kid had been more hurt, like if the kid had died.
Right. Well, yeah.
Or, you know, something like that, like this would have been this would be a whole other conversation. You know, and that's sad to say, like, that's right, not to diminish the fact that, like, you know, he got punched in the face a bunch of times by a police officer for, from what I can tell, you know, possibly mouthing off to them or you know, possibly not following orders completely, you know. But the thing is,
like, he was going to sit down.
It looked as if he was going to sit down.
He was just doing it in a teenager way.
Right. Or maybe, or maybe he was trying to, like, I don't know. Again, it's like we're only watching the video. But anyway, so there's an actual investigation pending, internal affairs investigation by the police department to determine whether or not this officer did something incorrectly, and we'll see what happens. And we'll see if people get outraged, you know, if at the end of it
they just don't do anything.
You know, yeah, who knows what's gonna happen. So the officer is on desk duty. So he's not out in the field. But he's not out in the field partly because because he was outed in the media, the chief at the old chief, Jerry Dyer, partly wanted to make sure that he is not out in the field because people know who he is, right. And that could cause a whole other set of, situations. Right. So, I don't know. It's crazy. Like, watching the video, it makes you, think, man, who knows how things can turn,
Right.
And it's like, you just have to, and this is where I think there's a lot of, that sentiment of, the training or whatever. It's like, you want to be able to just say I will respect the police, and when they tell me to sit down, I'll sit down, right. Or whatever. But when you see stuff like this, it's like, well, if you're not going to give me any respect back,
right.
It has to work both ways. You can't just come out, hitting people or whatever.
Right.
It's
tough for me as a geeky looking white kid dude that I've never faced anything ever happened to me like that. Right. Like, that was above board. But I've also never, pushed back against it. Like, whatever times I've been talked to by an officer, I've never been, a jackass either. So it's like, I really even can't speak on it. So it's like, for somebody like me that's never experienced something, I have no business really talking about it. So.
I believe that's 100% correct on both sides, And again, all we're seeing is from this one video. Apparently there's 40 other camera videos that show some part of this, thing. I don't know. In my mind, from the watching that clip of that video, unless there's some evidence that they can show that gives something else, I don't believe that is a correct. I think there was something that happened that was out of line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's an official technique within the guidelines of the police department.
Yeah.
And there are, so a couple weeks before that, this, there was another video that they showed of the police beating on some dude. And it showed the guy was on the ground, they were punching him in the chest or something. And the chief, his sort of explanation was this was a technique that the police used for compliance purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at it, you could kind like the video, you could kind of see that might be the case because of the way that he was striking the guy, and he was very specific about, you could tell the officer, or from what I saw, you could tell the officer maybe was looking at specific targets to hit, blah, 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 for that sake of, so like, okay, we could argue whether or not police officers should be able to punch people as part of their duties, right? But if that's a technique that they're trained in, mm-hmm. in whatever to do, okay. I don't believe punching someone in the face 6, 7, 8 times is that. But so, all right, we'll leave that there.
Yeah,
and jump back to our new police chief.
Yeah,
I
have known nothing.
I don't know anything about him either. His name was his name is Andy Hall, I believe. I believe he was the what is it? He was the sort of second in command after the other second in command got arrested for selling heroin or whatever. Yeah. So he's been the second in command. He's been with the police department for a long time, and I think he oversees the, as part of his duties, oversees the, media communications thing. So he's the guy that sort of is making sure that the chief gets out to the press conferences and all that kind of stuff. And what was interesting, I think, about this is less the fact that, he was hired and more the fact of how it happened. Because, so as the mayor, from what I know, it is the mayor's responsibility to hire the next police chief. And so he had said from the beginning, they were going to hire a new police chief. There was going to be a national search, blah, blah, blah. And they had been doing that for the past however long. And they had several community meetings and all of this stuff. So they were into the process. They had, I don't know, a dozen applicants or how many people that had applied for the job. And then suddenly out of nowhere, they announced, we've hired someone, and it's none of the people that had applied for the job.
Yeah.
It's also someone who is retiring, like has forced retirement coming up. So he can't, even though he's being hired as the chief, it's a temporary position because it can't be any longer because he's going to be forced into retirement.
Yeah.
So he's going to serve, like right now he's serving as the active chief or whatever, and then he'll be the interim until they find another police chief. So the overall effect of this is probably, although maybe not, it just pushes the decision of who gets like the hiring to the new mayor, who very well may be chief the old Dyer. Chief of police. So it just didn't sit well with a lot of people.
Yeah,
and then also, they go through this whole process, and the mayor had originally said, you know, that the chief would not have any say in the hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made sense because he's running for mayor, and so it was like they wanted this clear delineation of like what, you know, one or the other or whatever. And then, you know, come to find out when the final decision was made, Chief Dyer was there as a, I guess, consultant. I'm going to put consultant. Mm-hmm. But he was sort of in on the process. And the mayor said, you know, we would be silly not to, you know, take his advice. He has all this experience and stuff running the department and so forth. So I think it's weird. I mean, it's definitely a weird kind of thing that, like, okay, you're saying you couldn't. Of all the applicants you had, none of them were good enough. But this other guy who didn't apply is good enough to but only for a limited amount of time because he has to retire. Like, why would you hire someone? Why wouldn't you just not hire someone and, you know, continue the search or open this? And look, I've never hired anyone, and I especially have never hired anyone for like a government position like this. Yeah. So I'm talking out my ass a little bit here, but it seems to me like you would just keep searching until you find the candidate you want. You wouldn't let go, we're going to end the search. We're going to hire this guy who could only be here for a year. Seems weird.
It's just, well, yeah. But when that factor of the mayor just wants to get out of here already, we already know the mayor just wants to get the hell out of here. He's just looking at the Bass Lake as like, man, I could be fishing right now, bro. And Chief Dyer is like, hey, I mean, you just can see it. Old school Fresno
politics,
Fresno boys,
good old boys
club of like, he's just like, hey, just put this guy in the interim, and then I'll handle it when I get in.
Right.
And then he's like, all right, cool, sounds good. I don't want to deal with it anyway. Man,
so
it's just like, because
does it?
We're waiting for this Chief Dyer mindset, old school Fresno mindset to go away, and it's setting up to be like we're gonna get it for another eight years or something. Like,
well, what's interesting, and I hadn't so a lot of people are like saying or the sentiment that I'm hearing from some people is that just like the mayor didn't do his job in this case, you know, that like, look, he's the mayor and it's part of the tasks of being a strong mayor, right? Like, this is one of the things that he is one of his responsibilities, and he just sort of like good enough. Yeah. It feels like good enough instead of doing his job. And
Matt Locke's on right now. I gotta go.
You know, and I don't know if that's. I mean, it makes sense that that's the case that he's just. But if that's the case, then man, like we really made a mistake in hiring. Like, we made a mistake in electing him as mayor, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's not a very... And again, I've never hired anyone, and I've never hired anyone for government work, so I'm sure it's a difficult position, but it's like, but that is your job. Your job is to hire someone So make it happen. And maybe this is the best outcome that he sees. It feels, at least, like, it feels like, eh.
Yeah, it's...
I'm out of here.
At the very least, it's lazy. And
that's what it feels like, yeah.
You know, the most benign part is it's just laziness. Right. But
it could go all the way to some weird conspiracy. It could be as bad as just
like Chief Dyer's like, just hold off. I've got some people in mind. But then you would think like Chief Dyer could probably just be like, hey, hire this guy.
Right. Anyway.
And right now. And so I don't know. That doesn't, it makes more sense to that. Dyer could just be like, hey, this is a guy I want as chief when I'm mayor.
Right.
Just hire him. So I don't know. Maybe that's what the mayor's thinking is right now. Like, I don't want to be tied to this.
Right. I don't want
him.
Right, right.
I'll let him be the one that makes that decision.
I don't want to be the guy to make that. But he is still in office.
Right.
So that is his job until he is not in office. So he can't, like, shouldn't, we should expect better from our mayor than that.
But he wants to get out more than we realize he wants to get out.
I mean, maybe that's how it feels, you know, when stuff like this happens, you know. Yeah. So.
Because, I mean.
Well, and then.
Because when that first came out, I was kind of out of the blue where he's like, you know what? I'm pretty done here. And we're like, whoa, okay. But we're like, well, you're probably not that done. And you're like, I'm pretty done.
Well, no, I mean, that's exactly the thing. So, like, and I think part of the reason that it does feel so weird is that same thing that you're talking about, which is like, out of nowhere, he's just like, yeah, I'm not going to run again. Oh, and the chief is going to run for mayor. So, see ya. You know? So that feels weird. And then when you have this, the whole thing is kind of.
It's just old boys Fresno still at work, and that's what it feels like to us.
But I, so it's real funny. So I stumbled upon a column that Mark from the Bee wrote back before. I think it must have been right after, like. It must have been right after Brand decided he wasn't going to run again, but right before the chief got into the race. And it essentially was talking about how the next mayor is not going to be Republican. And I was like, how wrong? He laid it out fairly well for the information that he had at the time.
Yeah.
But... You know,
and then Dyer,
and you know, he actually does have and his thing was like, it might not happen in 2020, but within the, you know, the next whatever, you know, we will have a mayor that's a Democrat, which we haven't had since.
Was that White House? Didn't White House have
I believe so. It would be the late 90s or whatever, right?
Yeah,
because so there you go.
I mean, we had Patterson forever, and then we had...
Mayor Bubba.
Bubba. Yeah. Bubba's still around.
Yeah.
Still out there, Josh.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Still out there at Starbucks and the Huckleberries up there.
You seen him at Huckleberries?
I've seen him outside of Huckleberries up there in Northeast. The one in Northeast.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Champlain and Perrin or something?
I remember...
I'm out here. I'll have a coffee with you, Josh. Come on out.
I remember before he was the mayor... and he was on In the Heat of the Night, and you know, so my parents knew who he was because he was on In the Heat of the Night, and we would always be at, I think maybe Willikers.
Carlos Brown, you mean?
There was some place that we would always go, and he would always be there, and my dad would always be like, "There's
Bubba.
That's Bubba from In the Heat of the Night." Anyway, all right, music break. Since we've been low, has been like a downer kind of thing. So let's who's gonna
you're
be
still here?
If you're still here, if you're still listening.
Well, it's an honor to be presenting such a Fresno blues legend. Bill Clifton's Chicken Whiskey Band. They're having a new album out.
Okay, very good.
And I think it's gonna be everywhere. We actually had Bill on the Perfect Pour a couple weeks back. So if you look for Look Through Perfect Pores archives.
Is he a show? Is he a big beer drinker?
Yeah, well, not big, but yeah, he's a beer drinker. He's like, and yeah, like I think you know, Nick's gotten him into right, some more or so. So, but he
enjoys the
but the Bill the Chicken Whiskey Band plays pretty much all the beer venues that have that allow bands. He's there.
Played, yeah.
He'll be, he's been there. So you've seen him. You've been all to all the beer venues around town.
Right, right.
So they got some new stuff out. So
let's take a listen.
Well, open up your stupid business. Pack your clothes. I don't want to you. I don't love you no more. As I've done got tired of you.
Advise anytime you see him at Zach's Brewing,
Zach's,
he can just stand right there. You know, one of those kind of not stages stages right, they have right there,
yeah,
on the floor there. So you can just do one of those, stand right there in
with
front
your
of
arms
guy,
folded,
arms folded, and just like impress me, bro. I've done that before,
and
like,
you will be impressed. I think, yeah,
I think so.
They've also, yeah, played at Tioga a bunch. I know they've been out of Gold Scenes a few times.
Yeah, Gold Scenes,
so for those who
Full Circle, probably.
If, for those of you who don't know, and maybe the name sort of sounds familiar, this is the brother of John Clifton of the John Clifton Blues Band and founding
Mofo
member of the Mofo Party Band, who hasn't played in a long time, but for a while they were the quintessential, maybe still quintessential Fresno like party rock band, you know, like I don't want to say
like
party
you want
rock,
to have a
party blues band,
blues party band.
They
bring
were great.
Bring out Mofo Party Band.
Yeah.
They were the probably the number one, I would think, at during sometimes probably, if you want to qualify it as like, if you're gonna hire a band in town, they would be the most hardest to get, priciest
right,
band. So I would, you know, that would be like,
they was, they were working all the time. They were, So I love this. I love when
They're well known in Europe. Like, Bill was telling stories about how they would,
because they
show up
to
a blues festival.
They used
and
they
would just be walking by and like people would like know all their names, like, hey, Bill. And then he's like, what? Like, Well, like, why is some random European calling out my name? So that's how bigger they are in Europe. For some reason, Europe just loves the blues.
So more than you know, it can be sad, I think, when a band decides to quit playing or go on a hiatus or whatever. Like, you know, I think that's kind of sucky sometimes. But I really appreciate and I like hearing what comes next for people. So, you know, you have a band like this, and to you know, we've sort of heard what John Clifton has done and the direction that he was sort of moving to. So it's nice to see, you know, what Bill's doing. And the fact that he's you know, taking it in a different direction, like, I don't know. I think that kind of stuff is cool, you know, making those connections and then drawing them out. So,
and they're just lifelong musicians. Like, I love about that is, like, you know, Bill could have long since just retired and gone and done some other thing or something, playing, but all he does is still play and play and play.
And that's really cool.
And that's just musicians. Don't care about the money, just play
until they're... So they have a new album out. You can find them on,
I think, everything, but I haven't looked on Spotify yet. But because I'd asked Bill about that, and he was like, "Well, I paid somebody a lot of money. They better get it out there."
It will. So, be. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
So
cool. And the name of the band again is
Bill Clifton's Chicken Whiskey Band.
Chicken Whiskey Band. That's chicken a great name.
Chicken and Whiskey Band. Yeah.
All right.
And a lot of chicken and whiskey around town, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a whiskey guy. Where do you get a good whiskey in Fresno, Josh? I asked Nick that. Nick would know.
I think, I know Eureka Burger has like a really good, they have a good setup there.
Yeah.
I don't know otherwise.
Where you going to get that cocktail bar coming in?
That is true.
Across from Zach's.
Across from Zach's. That'll be the Modernist, I believe it's called.
That'll be fun.
And I'm sure, yeah, that'll be a great place
for people. So do we have a problem downtown at all with people's... I heard this Just a Tip closed.
Oh, yeah.
It's brick and mortar place.
That is correct.
Is there any issues with... do you find that it's abnormally... There are abnormal amount of closures in downtown... As opposed to the rest of the city.
Being is that there have been several closures lately downtown. Because there have been. I don't know. This was a question I got asked on Twitter. I feel like, so there's a couple things. I feel like not. I feel like downtown gets more attention because it's downtown than any other place in downtown. And or in Fresno. And I feel like if you were to take the data, and again, this is a feeling because I haven't had a chance to sit down and look at the actual numbers. I don't even know how you would go about doing that. I guess I could just look through the Fresno Bee archives. But I think you will see that the number is probably similar to any other place in town. I mean, I think that the restaurants are a mean business to be in. They're super difficult. And so business, like restaurants, close all the time. I feel like we notice it more. It feels bigger or whatever when it's downtown because we have so few things down there that it's like we take notice when something is gone.
Right.
Whereas, you know, someone had asked me the question
on West Shaw, some shopping center in West Shaw, something closes. It doesn't even come up on the radar.
And so here's the thing. It's like, you know, name me a shopping center in town, a part of town, a shopping center, whatever, and I will tell you a restaurant that has closed in that shopping.
Every single because one.
That's just...
River Park.
River Park has had a lot.
Across from River Park, that Universal Center has shit closed all the time.
Right. And you know, some of those... You know, it's like Hooters, okay? So yeah. Hooters closed. It's a national chain, so some people maybe think, oh, it doesn't count or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, but it still was not doing well in that location.
If it was making money, they wouldn't have closed it.
And why, you could argue why it wasn't making any money, but I think people a lot of times also attribute... they attribute a failure in downtown to downtown instead of a failure to the business. And that's going to sound harsh, but it's like, look, sometimes like just the businesses aren't set up to succeed. And that's not a failure necessarily on the business. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Downtown maybe has some more challenges than other places.
Right.
Maybe. I'm not sure, but I think people, if you believe that it does, then seeing a place like this close, you're immediately going to say, well, it closed because, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't help that when they do close, then they blame stuff like the owners are going to blame stuff like rent going up,
yeah.
and homelessness. And it's right. like, first of all, I understand rent, you know, rent is rent. And if rent goes up, that can definitely be, that can mm-hmm. really well, yeah, mess
up. Fresno has a definitely problem with,
you know, so if your rent goes up, you know,
high the rent is,
however much, like, yeah, that could definitely be a thing that will make you change your restaurant. The homelessness, I question that, and I especially question that in the area where they are downtown, because there are other restaurants in that area that are doing, you know, because they're right around the corner from Chicken Shack. They're right around the corner from the ramen place.
But they weren't on Fulton, were they?
No, they're set up. They're set off on Mariposa, so that mm-hmm. little strip.
Okay.
It's not the best location, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely not as visible mm-hmm. from the street, so that could also be another problem. I don't know. I just feel like so often what happens is a place closes, it gets reported on. The business says, oh, it's so hard to exist downtown. And then that's the thing that everyone goes with and goes, ah, well, downtown right. will never succeed. And
you,
it's
never
like,
hear, you never hear... When all these places close from anywhere else, you never hear them blame the region.
Right.
It just...
No one's ever going to go, you know, that... the
West Shaw has a shit ton of homeless people. The I building, never hear anyone complain
well,
about
right.
it.
And the building that used to be Willikers, it's right next to Moon Calendars, like that. That has been 7 different restaurants within the last 10 years or whatever. It can never succeed.
Since Willikers closed, that place has never been.
Anytime
able to
it closed, you don't hear anyone go like, "Well, Fresno State can't support businesses." You know, you hear that downtown. You also don't. We don't celebrate the successes that we've seen downtown. Mm-hmm. Chicken Shack.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to Chicken Shack, that place has built a business that is thriving in a spot where apparently lots of people think it shouldn't.
Right.
I also think people just they're mad cuz they want to see something.
Los Panchos seems to be doing fine.
Los Panchos mm-hmm. seems to be doing fine. You know, I mean,
Fresno's
going to struggle. It's,
I mean, part of the restaurant business, and speaking as someone who has no idea the restaurant business work, but like just as a consumer and noticing how Fresno's
you eat out, if work, you eat out a lot,
you have to, if you really want to be successful, you have to check every box as a restaurant. Yeah, yeah. Every box has to be checked. You don't have one box checked and you're really putting yourself out there, and boxes being location, food, good food that's priced appropriately.
Decent, yeah.
Atmosphere. These are all
right.
And just money involved, like how it looks,
right.
which I guess service. Would be part of the atmosphere, and then service, like all these got to be on point.
Well, and you know,
if they're not, you're really
a better example.
You gotta have a small lease.
A better example might be Olive Avenue in the Tower.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to guess that over the same amount of time, and again, see, this is the difficult thing because someone should, and I suppose it should be me, but go back and actually find the actual stories and kind of set it up. But I would venture to guess that a similar amount of restaurants have closed and opened on, you know, Olive Avenue than downtown, mm-hmm. you know. So if you want to say that Chicken Shack closed, or not Chicken Shack, if you want to say that Just a Tip closed, well, Chicken Pie Shop closed. If you want to say that, you know, some other place closed, well, Castillo's closed or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's reopened as something else since, but it was closed. The Zen Wok Fusion closed, you know. Yeah. So, you know, there's that's just the nature of the thing. Like, places are open and places close. Yeah. And so, like, you know, on Olive Avenue now, you know, we definitely have seen a lot of restaurants, new restaurants coming in and opening. That's the wave of it right now, you know. Mm-hmm. In 3 years, let's take another look at it. And the same with downtown. You know, we've seen some closures, sure, but we've also seen a lot of new openings. And so, I don't know. I feel like downtown continually gets a bad rap and people like to shit on it. For what
all you gotta
reason,
do is,
I don't even, you know.
look at the events that happened downtown, and especially one that Mike Oz is a part of.
Well,
and
I mean,
just
that's the other thing.
Huge draw. Everything is a huge draw.
That's the other thing. So it's like, look, you do know that people will come downtown for yeah. stuff. So there's people that are like, oh, no one will ever come downtown, and that's why businesses fail. But it's like, yeah, but every other weekend, you're getting like 2,000 or more people coming down for these food events.
Yeah. To events at Tioga or food events, and not even counting the soccer and baseball games.
You know.
And just the things that don't even involve the sports.
Right.
Are just
if you've been
huge.
Downtown at any point for any of the Art Hop, you will have
Art
noticed
Hop
there's
is crazy.
A ton of people there the first Thursdays of every month. So, you know, I think part of the thing is also then like, okay, so how do you capitalize on that? And that's a difficult thing because, mm-hmm. you know, there are two, I feel like there's two sets of things happening. And one is like that daytime, work a week thing where it's all government right. employees and whatever. And that's going to probably be your bread and butter because there's not enough mm-hmm. on the other side yet, maybe to, keep you going. But on the flip side, there are those events that are happening on the weekend, and if you can find a way to capitalize on them.
Right.
So, I don't know.
It's all tough business, no matter where you're at in Fresno. I'll tell you one that's doing checked off all the boxes.
Okay.
Mad Dog Northwest.
Oh, really?
Woo,
okay.
Man.
All right.
They are cranking
Where is that?
You cannot go any... There's not a time you can go where it's not packed.
No way.
I go on completely off times.
And it's
We're
packed.
All about going on off
yeah,
times.
Of course.
You can just usually can just walk in,
and that's what you want. Yeah,
even off times it's busy.
No way.
This is at Herndon and Marks, behind the Starbucks,
okay. yep,
behind
yep,
the new ampersand, mm-hmm. in the office complex. That's at the edge. You know,
kind of weird
red
spot.
Bricks.
Weird spot,
yeah.
but cool space.
Yeah, a cool space. It's small,
uh-huh.
but especially when it has a brewery and the might little. Brew pub inside of it.
So but, they actually have brewing
oh,
facility
yeah.
there. Okay.
Yeah, they got their own. Just,
so that's
just
where
very
they're
very similar to the Campus Point.
They're brewing specifically for
but
the
smaller
restaurant.
Than the Campus Point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think they've gotten some help from the Campus Point one because they
of
blow
course.
Through beer like crazy
yeah.
in there.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, it's hit on something that I've been saying to people and I feeling like Northwest Fresno has had nothing
to
cool. sit down.
Oh,
sit down
yeah, nice.
Restaurant,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
servers restaurant that's cool. And that area has money. That is a and it's still an underdeveloped area.
Some
and,
yeah, yeah.
And it's like been that area's been like just begging for
right,
this place.
Right, for a place that's like
that can stay
less,
in the neighborhood.
Less upscale than Max's or something like
right.
that, right? Or
and yeah,
Manhattan.
But like even like...
A little like
that,
more
that,
casual.
That's like that Bullard and West is sort of like... It's been the furthest out area of like where you go and sit down
right,
and
right,
hang
right,
out.
Right, right.
Like so when you go further past that, there really hasn't been that many places.
Uh-huh.
I know there's that... The Limon or Lyman or whatever.
Limon, yeah.
Limon over there. And then there's a good sushi place back there in that Save Mart where the Save Mart is.
Yeah, kind of hidden.
London.
Yeah, yeah.
But there hasn't been that many places to like, woo, hang out.
Right,
places.
To get excited about.
And so I hope that Fresno gets more, like every neighborhood should have
its own, yeah.
Where you don't have to really leave the neighborhood to go to a place like that.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
I think Fresno has such a mindset of like, River Park, Fashion Fair, Downtown, Tower, Fig Garden Village.
Right.
These are the places we go. And like, I think there needs to be more neighborhood
we start
places.
To fill in. Yeah.
I hope that people see this as like, okay, look at what Mad Duck's doing.
Right.
They checked all those boxes off.
Yeah.
And
right.
they obviously have a lot of money because there's a lot of money in that place.
Right, right. So, I mean, I think that's one of the, there's a couple things, like, in one of them is that, like, you have to have the capital to be able to start it up and do it correctly. And I think that's a problem for people a lot of times. The other problem is, I think most people try to go, like, if you're looking to get into an existing building, and this is why there's some like dead spots, like old restaurant buildings that never,
Nothing ever happens.
It's again. Because they're gigantic. It's they're so big that you can't.
Unmanageable.
Right. They're, you know, yeah, they're kind of, they can become unmanageable. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
I hope maybe this will start a trend of like neighborhood spots. Not that I want to diminish any of the our big centers, gathering centers.
Right.
But,
well, and hopefully this will be another center that, you know, you have Ampersand in there, you have this place. Right. That could be another little like.
It was funny. We went to Ampersand one time. We went to Ampersand after. And like, so Ampersand had been open there for a little while.
Yeah, they've been
open. Without them open. Uh-huh. So now that they're open, you know, we got people, you know, it's a brewery and people are drinking. And so it's like, what's so, you know, how's it been since this is open? What's it like? And the guy's like, oh.
He's so mad. He's like he didn't even know what was going to happen.
So, you know, you're getting like people lit up, like coming in like, woo, Ampersand's out of ice cream. Like, now they're dealing with a different kind of clientele.
Right, than they're normally used to, yeah.
So we just thought it was funny.
That's like, hilarious.
They're like having a deal with this.
Yeah.
This they're post-drinking like, what are we crowd get in there.
What are we getting ourselves into?
But it's a fun place if can get in. I've been doing it. The tabletops, you can just, if you just have to hawk and find. And I've been having good luck with that.
Okay.
But, if you have more than two people, then you pretty much going to have to wait for a table.
Look, I don't wait for any place.
I wait for nothing.
I'll wait at Denny's. All right. So I think the big thing, and this is that I don't think that we've touched on, was the, thing that happened around the taco truck throwdown.
Oh yeah, the eating competition to get into the eating competition. Yeah.
So essentially, you know, long story short, there was an eating competition at the Grizzlies, and a dude died during the eating competition. It obviously that's gonna make some national news, and he choked to death according to the coroner's report. Although, you know, that's the sort of preliminary. It's like a month before, like sometime this month, I think they'll finally get like the final report and kind of have a better idea. Because you know there were also rumors. And on the guy's social media, he was posting about how, you know, a couple of weeks prior to this, he had had a stroke. The guy had diabetes. He hadn't eaten all day, before the competition to kind of prepare himself. And the whole thing. So, you know, it's one of those things where like, I think it's Malcolm Gladwell or someone, there was a book and he wrote talking about, you know, when things fail, like catastrophic failures, plane crash, like whatever, it's never like one thing that happens and it's like engine goes down and the plane blows up. It's like a bazillion things happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this was. I think there was like, you know, it wasn't just that the guy himself, it was the competition, like it was a bunch of things that happened. Were sort of tiny failures that led to this guy's death. My problem with it, I mean, problem, I don't want to set it up as like, ooh, but so a guy died and that's terrible. I feel like the way the Grizzlies handled it was not good, like not good at all, because, it was shady about it. For something that didn't really matter. So, another aspect of this was, you know, so the Grizzlies are having the taco truck throwdown.
Right.
As part of the taco truck throwdown, they're having the World Fresno World Taco Eating Contest, right, or whatever, the World Contest.
Like, competition eaters,
professional. So, you know, we've had Joey Chestnut and Matt Stoney and I think Jeff Esper or whatever the other guy is. These are like dudes who are like, you know, ranked within, right, you know, it's the guy who wins Nathan's every year, yeah, coming in and like eating tacos or whatever. So it's a huge big thing. And in the past several years, they've done this amateur contest beforehand through the national organization, the Major League Eating, to sort of set up for the final. So you would have the amateur contest, and you know, if you won the national or the amateur contest, you would go to compete against the guys in the big contest.
Yeah.
Okay. So they did that this year, only it wasn't at all sanctioned or authorized or even known about by the Major League Eating people, because it was on a different day and it was just like whatever. And so there was some confusion about what that meant. Like, so they were having this event, this amateur contest. If you believe the social media from the Grizzlies, it was to win a spot
on the
other thing. Once the guy died, or it came out that he died, and there started being news media, people were asking him, people were reporting that. So people, you know, news media was reporting like he died during a qualifier for this national thing. And Major League Eating is like, we don't know anything about this. Right. Like, what are you saying? So the Grizzlies have to come back and go like, no, it wasn't a qualifier and it wasn't blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, your social media says,
yeah,
only social media doesn't say anymore because they deleted
and deleted everything.
Some Twitter, you know, some posts. And, you know, and so they're saying, well, there was some confusion about what was happening. And I still don't know what the confusion was. It was the confusion that, like, whoever created those social media posts were incorrect and it wasn't going to be. Or is the confusion that those social media posts got deleted when they shouldn't have been? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's the confusion, you know? And so, to me, and it's a stupid thing because, look, who cares, like, in the grand scheme of what happened?
Right.
Like, the guy died. That's the tragic part. Whether or not, like, whatever. But if you're scrubbing things from your social media timeline, if you're trying to, like,
that's not good.
That is some shady stuff, man. And, like, you just can't do it. And so I feel like, and it's happened twice to them this year, where they have gotten sort of this bad publicity, and their crisis, the handling of it was just not very good. Like, it just wasn't very good. Now, a bunch of people still showed up to the Taco Truck Throwdown, and they still had a great event, as well it should be, in my mind, right? Like, I mean, you shouldn't, that shouldn't take away from what happened. But it's kind of hard sometimes to think about, like, well, how do you support, like, do I want to support this team when, like, when there's a crisis, they freak out and do some really shady shit, you know, that they're protecting them, like, that make it seem like they're protecting themselves from whatever. Look, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Like, you know, they were maybe whatever it was that the mistake is, that they weren't, that the contest was just the contest, or, you know, that they were not even supposed to have a con, like, whatever it was, cool, man, but just own up to it when you get, especially in a situation where someone dies, a person who was a fan of theirs, by all accounts, who was at the games all the time,
like, he was all and a big about supporter all of it,
and so it just becomes difficult. And so for me, I struggled when I heard that story, not in their response to it, you know. And you know, you can, you know, whether or not it was overplayed or not, you know, because it did. You had to know that this was going to be one of those. And look,
at least they shut down the competition.
Yeah, they did shut down the competition.
I was wondering, are they going to shut the whole thing?
The eating competition. Yeah, they still had the Taco Truck Throwdown.
And I don't think I don't think you can bring that back.
Oh, it will not come back. Yeah. I mean,
you can.
Yeah. I don't think
even the Grizzlies, I think 2 years down the road, be like, all right, we're coming.
Nah, I think the Grizzlies said,
you're done with that.
I think the Grizzlies said that they're not, they won't have any of these things again.
And you don't even, I mean, it doesn't even need it.
But let me,
I mean, I understand why they had it.
I think it was a great event, and I would, you know, and I think that they probably could have built it up to be like a Nathan's kind of thing. Yeah. So this is really bad that it happened, because it did take this thing away that could have really been good for us. The other point about it, and I will have to say that, you know, once upon a time, I helped to put on an eating contest through the Fresno Bee, through the Fresno Fair. And so we had this big eating contest at the Fresno Fair. I would never have thought about any of, you know, like...
Yeah, I didn't.
And I don't remember, like, for instance, at the time, because I wasn't thinking about it, like, do we have EMTs standing here in case someone starts to choke? Do we have, like, do we have all of the water or whatever is proper? Have we, you know, did people sign a form? You know, I'm sure they did. But so, you can place blame on the Grizzlies if you want, but like at the same time, it's like I've been there. I helped with this event, like a food eating event.
We were in one a long time ago.
it's just
each other.
It's all good fun, right? And so you don't necessarily go like, "Oh man, someone could die." But you, as an organization, have to understand that, like, if that happens, shoot, man, there are going to be some repercussions, and you know, how do you deal with that? I think is the main thing, and I am not 100% sure that
not the Grizzlies,
right? And so that's the thing, like, and that's the other thing. I think it's the Grizzlies are going to have to sort of start thinking: what kind of events can we have, and how do we keep them safe and keep our viewers say, while still having super fun stuff, you know? Because you kind of have to, like, especially for the Grizzlies, I think it's about pushing the envelope. Like, what kind of cool stuff that we can have? Well, no one's doing an eating contest, so let's do that.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing. Understand it comes with challenges, so.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done with that. We're going to leave on a sad note, it sounds
well,
like. Unless you have other stuff.
I
feel like I had a question.
What do you think about?
But I can't remember. It was a real fun one that we were gonna. What do I think about?
Suds in the City moving to
Clovis. Suds in the City is moving to Clovis. I forgot about Suds in the City moving to Clovis. Man, that's a rough one because I. I don't think it matters. You know, I don't think it matters. I definitely see it from, I think that it's odd that, John Ostlin, and I think he may or may not see the disconnect here, but John Ostlin, who owns One Putt and he has it downtown and for years has been,
did a great job with that building and the studio.
Yeah. And he's always been a proponent of downtown, and he's always been pushing downtown and pushing downtown businesses and whatever. And he gets mad at us he gets mad at the Fresno Bee, because we talk, you know, we'll say things that he feels are negative towards downtown, unfairly negative towards downtown. This person chooses to move an event that has historically been about downtown and a fundraiser for downtown to downtown Clovis. I think that's weird, to say the least.
Right.
From his vantage point, I also sort of understand it. Like, as an event, you get to a certain point, you want to make sure that event keeps growing, and understanding that it's an event for it's a radio station event, essentially, right? That he thinks that they can get to a bigger market in Clovis. It's the same way reason he took the taco thing that he had that one year and put it at Wilbur Park, because it's like, are more people going to go come downtown or go to Wilbur Park? Mm-hmm. Are more people going to go, you know, I feel like I think that he thinks his demographic and the people who might come out to an event like this are more likely to go to that event in downtown Clovis, and he could be right about it. You know, I tend to not get too terribly upset when things come and go because events come and go, and that event left, but just this weekend, they had the Central Valley Craft Beer Week mixer or whatever, mm-hmm. which was essentially like a downtown.
Yeah, it was Central Valley Brewers Association.
Yeah.
It basically made a Central Valley Beer Week. Craft Beer Week finally had something happen. Although I hope they change it to Fresno Beer Week. Because the Central Valley Beer Week just doesn't...
It doesn't roll the same.
Same and doesn't feel the same, and it feels vague. And
especially because most everything happened in... I mean, they did have... Hamford had a couple of things.
Which is good, but most... All the beer weeks I know, every city has a beer week, and it says San Diego, the city. Yeah, San Francisco's Beer Week, it's one of the biggest. It's SF Beer Week, but the whole Bay Area, and everyone understands the whole Bay Area is involved, so... You can have a Fresno Beer Week and understand that the whole valley area or whole region can be involved. So I hope they change that to Fresno
Beer Week. So I think this kind of goes back to the question of Sudson City moving. I think very often people who do events are overly worried about, we got to do, it has to be a regional. It has to be uh-huh. regional. You uh-huh. know, if we have to be able to build it as a regional thing to get outside of Fresno, or else it'll never, like, you know, work.
Right.
I think you see that through all, you know, I think Taco Truck Throwdown uh-huh. has made moves to, you know, kind of appeal to, you know, by doing weekend, by doing 2 days, to appeal to beyond just Fresno, you know. You know people in Fresno are going to come out on a Thursday night to see the game and eat tacos. Like, you know that's a thing that you can have. How do you make it bigger? You know, it's the same reason that Grizzly Fest moved from downtown Fresno to Wilbur Park, and people got pissed about it. Yeah. But from their perspective, like, it makes sense. We cannot grow into anything larger than that if we don't move it out of the way.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's thinking, you know, and also it's just a different event. Like, it's a different kind of event for them.
It kind of been floundering downtown.
Well,
I mean,
that's the other thing.
I don't think it's a blame of downtown. I just think that the way they're doing it,
they did bring it back. Like, you know, One Putt did bring it back. It had been on hiatus for 3 years before One Putt last year decided, like, hey, you know, we'll kind of take it over. We'll put it. And they had it in the Culture Arts Park right there. And it was a great time and whatever. But they, you know, want to, and I think his vision for it maybe is different, you know, cause he had talked about wanting to maybe move it every year. So maybe next year it would be in Hanford or Visalia or, maybe down in up in Turlock or what, you know, so, and that's a different thing to me, but if that's, you know, what he's doing. So to me, yes, there are people who are going to be mad about it, and there will be people who will call them out for moving it. That's correct. They should probably call them out for moving it.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that, like, you know, they also have a different end goal than you, you know? And I think that's the other thing. A lot of times we get so connected to our, like, ooh, this event, I love this event. And you think it's all about you. Like, what do I want out of an event? But it's like, no, man, this isn't about what you want out of the event. There are people who are organizing this. We know it from when we did Fuse, and people would be like, oh, I wish you would have done.
I wish you'd do this. I wish you'd do that.
And it's like, all right, dude, go to it, man. You jump in and do it then, because
we're doing a local festival that's put on by 4 volunteers. So, we're doing what we can do, bro.
Right. But people, I think that's the, you know, people are like, oh, but this is my event. So I want it to be done this way. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, you know, and I think it's the same with this, you know, there are people, but then again, you know, it's, I didn't see necessarily the kind of backlash that I thought I was going to see from it. I thought people were just going to be freaked out and be like, oh my God, I can't believe.
Yeah.
But I think part of that too is that Suds in the City, you know, it hadn't been around. Right. So if this had been 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, that people probably would have been.
No! Yeah. But yeah, now it's just like we're kind of used to Suds in the City not being what it was. Right. So we're just kind
of. Well,
like,
and we're also used to a lot of stuff, you know.
There we got a lot of things now.
The Fresno Madeira, what was it? The Fresno Beer Fest or whatever that was in Madeira up at the.
Oh, was that the fairgrounds?
No. I can't remember. It was a couple years ago anyway, and they had the Fresno. I think they were calling it the Fresno Beer Fest. Oh,
no, at Apcal probably.
There you go. Yeah. But it was in Madeira, yeah. And it's like.
Okay, now I remember.
You know what? Yeah.
But it was like, well, it's just across the river, so it's barely Madeira.
So we're kind of used to it. So in my mind, as long as we still have events, downtown isn't short on events, right? Like once upon a time we were. So once upon a time it would have mattered if Suds in the City left, I would have been like, well, damn, dude, that hurts.
Right.
But and this is maybe was another thing that went into his thinking. It's like downtown is inundated with events. How do we set ourselves apart from, you know, the Fulton Street party that's happening in October, Fresyes, any of the number of Fresno Street Eat events, like any of the stuff that's happening, how do you set yourself apart from that? I don't, maybe you don't, but if you go into Clovis and you bring a different kind of take to it. So
good luck to them. Hope they have fun out there.
Yeah.
Probably not gonna see them out there. I don't like crossing 41 anymore. I'm in Northwest, and I don't like going on the other side of 41 anymore.
I went out to Clovis.
I'll go to Campus Point once in a while, and that's about it.
I went out to Clovis not too long ago for something, and it was, you know. And I went out to Campus Point the other day. I went and did a thing at a journalism class, and I went to Campus Point, and I got some coffee, and I was very happy about it. But you know, I think Campus Point is cool. I think lots of places in Fresno are cool that I don't go to because they're just not within my,
sphere
of influence. Yeah. So,
all right. I think that's
all right.
Enough.
Is that it? That's that should enough, be it. I hopefully we
have to chew on for September.
Yeah. And we'll be back, next month.
First Monday of every month.
We'll be back. New Flowing with Famous. We'll be back October. What's coming? Oh, the fair. We'll have to talk about the fair.
The fair, yeah.
They got some cool stuff happening.
We'll be talking about the fair next time.
And
the big. Three bigs?
I think it's
big.
I think it's just the one.
The big. I think that's five bigs. Fresno Fair.
I only know it as the big Fresno
Fair. Well, I pay attention to marketing.
Yeah, no, I understand. But we'll talk about the Fresno Fair or big Fresno Fair.
It's big. I wonder what new things they'll have this year. Well, I guess we'll gather that information.
Yeah.
You always have some new thing.
I haven't
like
seen.
Like the zoo consistently comes out with something new, and the fair usually consistently every year there's something new to check out.
I haven't seen any of that come over yet. It's usually like mid-September we start getting all the press releases and stuff, all the cool stuff. So we'll get them. Now it's time to
plug it up! Plug it up! Plug it up! Oh, Josh, what the hell? Yeah, yeah. What all your bands?
I got all the bands.
Doing.
So,
gather your bands.
It'll go back.
You need to have a festival with all your bands.
All my bands. That would be cool.
Can you handle it? Can your voice handle it?
No, of course not. So, it'll go back. A punk band plays periodically. You can find that online. The Strikingly Originals, again, another punk band, different sort of punk band that plays periodically, and I feel like we'll have some stuff coming up in the next few months, possibly in October. We'll definitely have a new single out, and maybe possibly a video we're working on, so that's cool. AC/DC cover band, Big Balls.
Yeah.
Sort of laying low, although I think we're trying to get some stuff together. And then the Danzig Stardust.
Yeah.
David Bowie, Danzig mashup.
Ready for your birthday party.
Yeah.
whoever's having a 40th party, 50th birthday party, that is true, you want them to play.
We are God, that'd be perfect. Yeah, we will have a show in December. So if you look up, if you go to the It'll Grow Back page, it's essentially the same band, but It'll Grow Back page, we'll have information about that. So that'll be coming up. I think it's in December. That'll be a really fun one. And then I have another band called the Downwinders who are slowly building. So that'll be a different one. Man. For people who know me and know what I usually do musically, this will be a departure. So in a good way. So you should check that out.
Look for you at Tower District Records.
Soon. Yeah. Maybe. That we will be in the Tower. That's the type of place that we will probably
be. Yeah, I felt like I was like, oh, that's Tower District.
That's the Tower District. Right, yeah. And then my other podcast that I do, the Aikido podcast, Aikido Discussed, where we talk about specifically the martial art of Aikido, but also other martial arts and self-defense related stuff.
I bet that I listened to that this month.
Ooh.
I bet that does well the Aikido market. It does market.
Very well. We have maybe like 15 or 20 patrons, and we have... you know, we get a decent amount of listens every episode, so it's slowly growing. So
it's got if you search for Aikido podcast, I'll bet it comes up on the first page.
I believe it does because there are not very many Aikido podcasts, and the ones there are sort of infrequent. And we've been really good, like every week. Yeah, so we're every week. We have I think we're up to like 90 episodes. It's like so we've been doing it a while. So it's been,
holy.
I know, it's crazy, and you know because you do a weekly podcast, it's not necessarily always.
Sometimes it's easy. A grind.
It can be a grind.
Some nights I'm like, I get to hang out and drink. It'll be fun. And other nights I'm like, oh, God.
We got to do this again.
I want to go to bed.
So, it's been really cool. And it's slowly been growing and, you know, all that. So if you want to look for that, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. And then my day job at the Fresno Bee, FresnoBee.com, where I write about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Arts and entertainment, sure, but other stuff as well. So.
you tell us about your morning dump every
my morning
day
dump
on Twitter.
Yep. I thought that was great. I don't know if anyone thinks it's... So the first time I did it, hilarious. I thought it was great, and people were like, oh, that's gross, like whatever. And
where
I keep
where you're throwing a bunch of stories,
bee links
on Twitter.
Yeah, so every day I'll just do a.
These are the ones I think.
Yeah, I'll do a thread that's just here are the stories, like my own version of a
sort of a morning newsletter.
But on Twitter, and I call it the morning dump. Maybe I should just start a stupid newsletter.
Maybe. I'm thinking about. I'm getting ready to start one.
Okay.
It's just the time I got. I'm trying to like. Am I going to be able to take the
Would
time
it
to
be
do it,
as the Fresno? Consistent?
Yeah, sort of a blogging, Fresno blogging.
Oh,
right
okay.
now I'm calling it posted.
Okay,
but I haven't put out yet, but I'm developing it. See if I'm trying to. I'm basically researching to How see if I have the amount of time and energy to keep it up consistently.
How's it looking?
Whether I how's it looking? Real great right now. It's one of those things where every week it's like, well, I got this to do, and then I'll do it next week, and then the next week something else.
And would it be a weekly?
I think it would be best as a weekly, but it might be monthly.
I mean, because it is
realistically monthly, but it would be preferred to be a weekly. Well,
let us know if you want to see
or
Mike
just sort of random.
If you want to see Mike do a newsletter, weekly, monthly, daily. Let him know.
Put it in.
If there are enough people,
Fresno on Twitter.
If there are enough people who want to hear, see a newsletter from
Mike, their email
or
box.
From me, I guess also.
Because I enjoy, I have a handful of newsletters that I read, that, you know, un-Fresno related.
Right, it's a big thing now.
And so I'm like...
There's some really good ones.
Yeah.
Have you seen the California Sun?
And what's that one do?
It's all California stuff. It's by a guy. He used to work
I've heard of that one.
He either used to work for the Times or the New York, like either the Times or the LA or New York, but...
I don't think I'm subscribed to it.
It's so good.
All
it's
right.
so
well,
good.
Now I'm going to subscribe to that one.
And he has
Because I bet you can do it. Organize... my inbox to where I sort of flag that as goes to a separate box
because
I like all my newsletters to go into a separate feed.
Yeah.
It would be nicer to.
Right.
I need to set that up.
Yeah. All right. So, aside from that thing that you're possibly going to do soon, what else do you got going on?
The podcast, the Dorktown Perfect Pour Network, Dorktown Network of Podcasts, the Perfect Pour, every Friday, new show, talking about beer geek stuff.
Oh, man. Which we didn't even touch on. We'll have to bring Pliny.
Oh,
Fezza Pliny. Fezza's
Pliny Town now. Russian and River, all over the place.
Flipped out. People flipped out. Did people flip out? People
all the places out. Were done with Pliny. Like, all the Russian River is gone within like 2 days. Right. And then we're just sort of periodically getting little shipments here and
depending on,
popping up everywhere. And you just got to pay attention to social media. Right.
I did manage to get some from Rochelle. I got a blind pig and a Pliny.
They seem to get a lot.
I had Pliny out at
like their shipment seemed to be bigger than other people's, but I don't know.
I mean, they sell a ton of beer probably.
Right.
So, Hot PK, I got a Pliny at Hot PK and so.
Anyway, I actually haven't had it on now that you come to think of, I have not had on draft yet.
Oh yeah.
In town.
Yeah. I think that's probably difficult.
I've just been buying bottles.
It's probably way more difficult to find on draft, I feel like, because it's just
Kunisama gets it pretty regularly.
Okay.
And then, I guess.
I think Goldstein's had it again.
Golds will have it.
And Spokeasy.
Spokeasy.
But I will say I went to Hot PK last night or the other night, and they did not have it.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Anyway, Pliny.
Which is fun. I mean, you can walk in like, is it going to be? Oh, it's there, or it's not there.
Like, and it's also nice because, look, it's one of those things where, like, if you see it, you can buy it, and you're going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And if it's not there, then you just don't buy it. So when you do see it and buy it, if you just always, when you see it, buy it, you will enjoy it. It'll be like a little treat.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
So there's that, the Perfect
Bar. ThePresident.com.
President.
Those are things to focus on right now.
Yeah.
It's all matters.
Okay.
So find us the Fresnan on Twitter. Josh is Joshua Teehee.
Yep.
On Twitter.
On Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
If you want, Instagram and Facebook
everywhere
as well for me. That's all you need to know. Then we'll hang out during the month and make some news to talk about next month.
Yeah, guys. Get to it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll count us out. I'm going to get my voice because didn't really work on the intro. So let's see if we can get it for the outro. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think that sounded good.